I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Yes, enjoying the slow drip NFL schedule release where I just got this one come across my timeline. The Arizona Cardinals will host the Seattle Seahawks in week 9.
Oh, man. Mark your calendars for that one.
Well,
like, what? I mean, their division.
Right.
We know.
Okay, week 9. Great.
All right. As opposed to what I was assuming week 6.
Yeah, I'm so shocked it's not week 7.
Oh, what's going to happen?
God.
What?
So let's talk about teens being wasted in public, okay?
Please.
So we were talking about this the other day when it happened, but Chris Paul got all bowed up.
He said, I'll see you later. Turns out that kid was like 18 or 19 years old. He looked like he was about 12, but apparently Chris Paul is looking to fight this young man somewhere outside of a basketball arena.
You think Paul showed up to that kid's school and hung out by the flagpole? Waiting for him to come out.
You imagine that? You walk out, because I don't know if you've ever had that, where like you've actually met someone for a fight. Did you ever do that? Like when you
were in school? We did that. Yeah, we had that.
And like all day, like that was always a very nerve-wracking thing. You imagine you just keep looking out the window and there's Chris Paul.
Standing there.
Like ours was, there was a church across the street where we would go and fight. And you're just sitting there looking at Chris Paul. That's either awesome, you're like, I'm going to fight Chris Paul, or, oh my God, this old man's about to whoop my ass.
So Chris Paul was mad because apparently his mom was shoved. And that turns out not to be true in a stunning turn of events.
What?
That tale, whoever reported that initially, that was not true.
Yeah.
So we're starting to piece together what actually happened. This was in Dallas, and it was right behind the Suns bench.
Yeah, it was like one or two rows behind it, and security was right there. And
so Chris Paul's mom called Kenny Smith, or text Kenny Smith what happened on TNT, which is a good way to get your side of the story out, I guess.
Yes, it is.
So Kenny went on there and he said, here's what happened. This is what she said happened. The kids were drunk, and they were tapping her on the shoulder, repeatedly saying Happy Mother's Day.
Okay.
And she said, don't touch me. But they kept doing it. And in between doing that, they would yell things like F the Suns and just stupid kid stuff.
Sure.
And so she claims that she went up to the concourse bar to tell them to stop serving these kids.
Oh, because we did hear originally that the actual incident occurred up on the concourse. And it was weird because the video is them behind the bench.
Yeah, and that's where the unwanted hugs happened.
Ah. Yeah, you can't do that.
I might offer to the court that there's no such thing as an unwanted hug.
No? Well, that's just a grab.
It's just a hug.
Well, it's not a hug.
He hugged you. You may not have liked it. It was just a hug.
No, but see, this is where I differ. No. If I come in and I put my arms around you and you reciprocate that, that's a hug. Mm. If I come up and you don't want it, that's not a hug. I'm just grabbing you.
So it has to be, both parties have to be...
Yes.
Embracing the other for it to be a hug.
Otherwise, it's just one person grabbing another. I can't come over there and wrap my arms around you and just squeeze, and you'd be like, let go of me, and I'm like, no. That's
you
not a
just
hug.
Hugged me. That's and you would say, no, I didn't. I grabbed you.
It's a fine line.
I can buy that.
Yeah.
So she goes up to the concourse bar to tell them to stop serving him, and that's where the unwanted hugs happen. And then the kid, so I guess, and this is the part that's a little confusing.
That kid's 21?
No, and this is my whole point of bringing this up, is because I was thinking about this. So I guess that kid that we saw get kicked out that looked kind of confused about it.
Yeah.
Apparently, it wasn't him. It was his buddies.
Ah.
And that's why he was so confused. So I guess he has the season tickets. He and his parents have the season tickets down there.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, some way, they got his drunk friends down from another part of the arena to take in the action down there. And
okay.
Those were the ones that were being unruly, according to people who have pieced this together.
Well, that makes way more sense because, first off, this kid doesn't even look like he's old enough to drink. And the mom and him look absolutely baffled.
Exactly.
With what the hell is going on.
So anyway.
Because if you have been, if you're drunk and you're harassing someone, you know what's up. You know, that's not like one of those, okay, I'm being kicked out. What? Why am I being kicked out?
Yeah. So anyway, my question about this, I was thinking about this was, man, when we were kids mm-hmm. or teenagers, if we were going to get housed, you had to do that.
Yeah.
Privately. Like,
yeah,
you
undercover.
Couldn't, you had to go, like in Kansas, you know, we'd like, everybody's going to James Dotson's field.
Vinnie Myers' yeah. house was where
their
it went.
Their parents
down.
Are out of town, so we got to go there. And you would do it under the cloak of
yeah.
no adults.
Yes.
Is it a thing now that teenage, and these guys were underage, apparently, all of them.
Yeah, because the kid is 18. The kid
yeah,
who was kicked
young.
Out is 18 or 19, depending on the report that you listen to.
So is it a thing that these kids, teenagers, who aren't of legal drinking age, are just out getting wasted at games and in public events?
Boy, I don't know.
Because that was not a thing when I was young.
No, no.
Maybe although, young Mike can weigh in on this.
Yeah, does anyone? I mean, I got kids, but I, as far as I know, my two kids are not, have well, they've never been S-faced at any of the games I've taken to
well,
them.
Even if they were, like, I guess when we were that age, even if we were S-faced somehow at a Blazer game or had a fake ID and got drunk or something,
yeah,
we would be super paranoid about letting anyone know it.
I know.
You know?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know.
Or acting out, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you get a couple and the next thing you know.
I guess so.
I mean, it depends on the person. Because when I get S-faced, I'm not, like, starting stuff. I'm just kind of in my own head.
But when you were a teenager, which was when? What year were you born again?
I was 89.
Okay, so you were a teenager in the 2000s.
Yes.
Were you going out, like, could you get housed in public? Like, would you do that? Would you, even underage?
The only time I did that was my senior year of high school when we went down the shore for senior week. We rented a house and we were...
But
you know,
everybody does.
Everyone's
done
doing that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no. I mean, it'd be parties, but you'd stay in the house.
Exactly.
Like, you wouldn't go randomly around the town.
Yes. I just wonder if this is a new thing.
To the Suns playoff game.
Or if it's just that. Yeah, exactly. Imagine being 18, 19. You get drunk at the Mavs Suns game. You get asked to go right down by the Suns bench. And all of a sudden you are harassing. Use that. That term, whatever term you want to use, you are suddenly harassing Chris Paul's mom.
Yeah.
Imagine having the balls at 18 years old or 19 years old to do that.
I don't have enough money to get drunk at an NBA game when I'm 19 years old. So, I mean, that right there, the $12 beers are going to eliminate that.
But see, that's where it comes down to the person. Like,
yeah, they're rich.
If you are any of the three of us, if we get that level of drunk harassing somebody around us. Like,
well,
I'm just sitting in my own head like, oh, my God, I drank too much.
Yeah, but this guy's right. I mean, 18 to 19-year-old college
yeah.
kids. Yeah, plenty
they're
of college
morons.
Kids probably out doing it in public. It's just surprising that it's at an NBA game like that.
I just don't. I don't know. And I may be wrong. Maybe just where I grew up. But you didn't do that.
This guy says at that
you
age,
get away with
I would
it.
Get drunk anywhere. Just to have more sense not to be a jerk. Yeah, it's a valid point.
Well, there, and that's.
Yeah.
That's kind of part of it too. It's like,
you just get,
if we did do something like that, we would definitely be trying to mind our P's and Q's.
Well, and someone else is saying a lot more parents are trying to be the cool parents nowadays and, you know, drink with the kids. And, you know, if you're going to do it in front of me.
Would you let your, I was always okay. So we have a kid who's 23.
Yeah.
And and he watches us drink, you know, we drank around him.
Yeah.
I was always very hesitant to get loose around him. Like I didn't want to show my kid that. I wanted to show my kid that you can drink and have a good time and not
have a good
act like
race.
A dip ass, yeah. Right? And I was also never, you know, we were cool parents, but I was not going to let him drink before he was 21 in front of us. Like at a restaurant or something.
Sure.
I'm not going to, this is, it's like, you know, no, you need to wait.
Yeah.
You need to, and if you guys are doing this stuff, you know, out at your parties or whatever, you know, I did the same thing. I don't want to see it. You know, I was always like, we don't need to get into the whole thing about how you parent your kids and drinking, but that was just my philosophy with it.
It was just
a line that I drew. I was like, we're not going to do this.
And we're hearing from a bunch of people. And my guess is every generation says this about the younger generation. It does feel like kids today are a little more, just emboldened about everything. Right.
I guess so.
I do think that there is that. And I think if you asked your parents about you and then, you know, kept going back, I think they'll tell you that each generation maybe gets a little more.
It's
a little more bold. And honestly,
my parents aren't drinkers, though, and never have been. So.
Well, mine weren't either.
I don't know if that makes a difference. I think it purely depends on the people you're hanging around with at school.
I just think this. I think kids today are growing up faster and are being exposed to more things, and not that there weren't dip S's and people that were drinking, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, all that. I think there's part of being a teenager. I just think that the idea of kids being kids, by the time nowadays that kids are like 13, 14, kids have been exposed to more stuff than you could possibly imagine by the time you're that age.
But
And so I just think there's that sort of mentality with parents, with other people, with the kids themselves, that by the time you're 18 or 19 years old, I think a lot of those people just kind of consider that, you know, been there, done that.
So how old's Oren, you said today?
17.
And then Tiny Wise, how old?
20.
Okay, so 17 and 20, you take them to a Blazers game.
Yes.
Are you letting them get drunk?
No.
Are you letting them have a drink?
Her, no.
Him,
no.
Maybe. He's 20. He's got a fake IDs in college.
If he wanted a beer or a cocktail, I would get
what
him
if
one.
He then says, I'm going to go get another one, Dad?
No.
You're like, we're gonna take it easy, fella.
We're going to keep an eye on that one. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's levels. There's degrees that you got to kind of keep between the navigational buoys. But it is amazing that a parent would allow a kid to get that drunk at an NBA game.
And then
game.
Just come down and start harassing people to the point of getting kicked out. That's
a whole thing.
All right. Well, there's no more to that.
No. So, I think the situation was a little overblown. But at the same time,
They were being annoying.
And I've said this a million times. You know, sticks and stones, I get it. Nowadays, you know, we're very aware of what everyone says. And I'm not saying you should be able to say what you want. But I think at times, God, you triggered me. That stuff can drive me crazy. But you do not have the right to put your hands on someone, whether it's poking them on the shoulder, whether it's, again, giving unwanted hugs. To me, if you put your hands on me, I think you've opened the door to other things. I'll just say that you can say what you want, and That's one thing, but you can't go around. You can't go around putting your hands on people. Just keep your hands to yourself.
We haven't seen a front man this bad since David Kahn. Next on The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Today in political ad observations, I learned that tampons in boys' bathrooms is radical indoctrination.
Huh?
Yeah. You haven't seen that one yet?
No.
Nah, just wait.
Why do we have tampons and boys' bathrooms?
Although, are you getting Oregon ads? Do you get Oregon ads?
Oh, yeah.
Up there?
All the time.
In Vancouver?
That's all we get, basically.
Yeah, really? Because it's the
Oregon-based
channels.
It's the Oregon-based channels.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And on my phone now, like I watch a lot of YouTube videos. I go down rabbit holes. Every ad is for the Oregon governor, except they all say the same thing. Like every single ad is abortion rights, gun restrictions, and cleaning up the home. They're all that.
Like, we got to play the hits, man.
But
it's what people care about.
But they're all doing that. It's like normally there's like one Republican and like one Democrat, and they're like, they're all the Democrats. It's like,
well, you want one guy to talk about like,
oh,
fence code? I mean, come on, man.
They want the same thing. It's like, I will protect your reproductive rights. Yeah. Say, well, those four people over there, you're the governor like of Oregon. Something tells me that the person that's like, no abortions for anyone isn't going to win the governor's race. So
Not in Oregon, probably.
It's the exact same ad. It's just with three different ladies.
This woman told me that somebody she's running against voted for tampons in boys' bathrooms. And, of course, that's she informed me that that's radical indoctrination. Oh. The other thing that I observed today was there's a new one out with what's his nuts? One of the main guys whose name I can't remember. But I learned that when in doubt, have the candidate hold a puppy.
Well, it does work.
In the ad. Yeah, he's holding a little golden retriever puppy.
Well, you know what? Can I get the golden retriever puppy? Seems like you're trying a little bit hard.
A little cliche.
Yeah. Can we mix it up a little bit? Give me like a border collie or
like an old ratty rescue dog?
There you go. Now I'm talking.
It's shivering.
Yeah. Give me one of those Sarah McLaughlin dogs. I feel like the golden retriever. I feel like you don't really want to hug that golden retriever. Someone in your PR campaign just gave you that. And it's probably named like Scout or something.
Exactly.
It's got a bandana. Like, no.
Exactly.
Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, that was. I saw those two ads today.
Yeah,
so that's today in political ad observations.
I get them all the time.
We haven't seen a front man this bad since David Kahn. Do you remember David Kahn?
I do remember David Kahn.
So he was the guy. He was the lawyer who headed up MLB to Portland back in 2000 or whenever that was.
Yeah, whenever that thing was.
When they were trying to get the Expos.
Yeah.
And he may have been very smart. I don't know. Seemed it, but. He was awful as a front man because he was like Neil O'Shea. He was
and he would come on the air and
he wasn't good.
He was a very unlikable guy. And then he ended up with the Timberwolves. He was the one that oversaw that. Let's draft point guard.
Dude, he ended up as the general manager of the Timberwolves and had honestly one of the worst runs anyone's ever had as a general manager of any team ever.
Yes.
Because he drafted, I'd have to go back and look.
I think he got three point guards in the same draft. He got, I think he got Rubio. Was it Johnny Flynn, the kid out of Syracuse? And I think he got one more. And look, I got to go back and look at this, but I think that was the draft that Steph Curry was in too. You drafted every point guard in the first round, but Steph Curry.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I got to look this up now.
Yeah, look that up. Sports executive David Kahn.
David Kahn.
Anyway, he's from here, or he lived here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he's from here.
He was born in Portland, he went to UCLA.
Yeah, he may still be here, although it looks as if maybe.
I think he's in Paris now.
Yeah, he was. I just looked at that. It said he was announced as the president of Paris basketball.
Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, he was not a good frontman, but Greg Norman is giving him a run for his money. Did you see what Greg Norman said today?
Oh, my God. Well, I saw it yesterday, so I think he said it yesterday.
So Greg Norman is heading up the LIV Golf Invitational Series, which is backed by the Saudis, and it's, of course, very controversial. We've talked about it here before.
It's taken a lot of flack, and he has not been very good at deflecting that. You could not cram your fat foot further in your gorgeous Australian mouth any further than what you did here. Holy geez.
Good way to put it.
Yeah.
So,
well, he's an Adonis. He's always like gearing down. He's like he's like 60 something. He's in tremendous shape.
Yeah, so they should just have all of his press conference naked.
Yeah, he's like Paul Hogan.
He's packing heat, too.
I think he was with Chrissy Everett, right?
He was. All right, so on Wednesday during a news conference in London to promote their first event, which is June 9th through 11th, he was asked about Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's alleged complicity in the 2018 killing of Jamal Khashoggi. Who was the journalist? That was big news. If you don't know that, you can look it up. But was murdered.
Not only did they murder him, but then they took a bone saw to him and they chopped him up into little pieces.
So there's a little detail you may not have known.
Yeah.
LIV Golf is being financed by Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, which is controlled by bin Salman.
Yeah.
Here is what Norman told reporters. He said, from what I heard and what you guys reported, just take ownership of what it is. Take ownership no matter what it is. Look, we've all made mistakes, and you just want to learn from those mistakes and how you can correct them going forward. That was Greg Norman's commentary.
Look, you've made mistakes. I've made mistakes.
Those were his remarks.
You know, I may have not been the, you know, the best husband or father that I could be. I'm sure we all have things that we regret. And he just happened to murder a journalist and then take a bone saw to him. So look, mistakes have been made all around. And let he who is without the bone saw murder cast the first stone. Oh, and by the way, he then said, get over it, because the prince has taken responsibility for it. He said, yeah, he's like, from what I understand, he's taken responsibility. So if you do murder someone and then dismember them, as long as you own it and they're like, yeah, we did that, then, hey, no harm, no foul.
Those in the Saudi royalty, I guess, if you want to call it that, must be so good in closed spaces at disarming everybody about what they do.
Well, it's called money.
Well, okay, but even in that situation, like, they probably have this whole conversation planned out and they know what to say. Like, no, just whatever they say to Greg Norman, and because people fall for it.
Greg freaking Norman.
They're like Kim Jong-un to Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, it's...
Except smarter, probably.
Well, I mean, look...
Hey, murderers are people with feelings, too.
Look, how...
That was a joke.
How much of a POS do you have to be... Like, I get that everyone's got a price tag, but my God, what a shill. It is so uncomfortable listening to him dance it around
is.
This.
It really is.
We've all made mistakes, but at least they've owned theirs.
That said, I don't know how you would... Like, if you're the front man of that tour, what are you saying?
I don't know. I'm sure that you at some point, right, you had to sit down with some PR people because you knew this was going to be asked. And the best that you guys collectively came up with is that we've all made mistakes. Dude,
that tells me they have not sat down with PR
exactly.
People.
Maybe the Saudis just don't care. Maybe they're like, yeah, we killed that dude and chopped him up. What about it?
Well, I think that, as I've stated before here, I think that they are probably a little stunned at the reaction, because
their money usually buys their money. The silence.
Yeah. Like, over where they are, it's a common thing. They've funded Formula One teams. They've funded European soccer teams. I mean, I think they're probably like, what?
What are you talking about? What's the problem?
People
here?
Actually holding us accountable. What is this?
What's happening?
How much do you need?
Well, I mean, I guess, what is it like? It's they're handing out. Was it 20?
They're handing out a lot of
dough. They're handing out a lot of money. So, I mean, I guess it doesn't take that much money to get Greg Norman to go along with
it. How much do you need to stop holding us accountable?
Yeah. And right. I would like it's the live tour.
Would you like a couple million more?
I mean, I would like it to now be known as the die tour or the bone saw tour. Either way, you know,
Jesus,
take your pick.
Well, that's the latest in Greg Norman talk.
Greg freaking Norman.
That guy. And by the way, for those that don't know, worth repeating, that tour is coming to Portland.
Yeah.
It will be here. When is it?
It's the second event.
Yeah, I think it's late June, maybe.
Yeah.
It's going to be out at Pumpkin Ridge. I was just out there the other day, and they were setting up grandstands and stuff.
Get your tickets to the Bone Saw Tour.
I don't know who's going to play in it, but...
You bring your hacksaw out there.
All of a sudden, ads start running on the station, and it's like, well...
I mean, honestly, like, if you're one of these players...
Or start advertising for bone saws?
Yeah. Do you have problems with cutting things up? Is it getting a little messy? Try, you know.
Next thing we know, we hear Isaac Rop here for the Bone Saw Tour. Saudis got to Isaac.
When I need to cut through flesh and bone, Warner Bone Saws is the only saw for me.
Hey, Saudis come to you and they say, hey, Jason, we understand you're a prominent radio host in Portland. We've got a tournament coming there. We would like to hand you this check as a donation to your child's college fund so that you say nice things about our tour. How do you feel about that?
That check hasn't happened. We'll cross that bridge when it comes to it.
I'm nice. Being bought immediately.
Nice deflect.
They offer Mike a brand new Murano, and next thing you know, Mike's like, whoa, what's the problem?
I don't speak in hypotheticals.
We all make mistakes, and, you know. By the way.
All of a sudden, I love golf. I can't wait to go to the LIV Tour.
I wonder if they have to pay all their vendors more because they're like, I don't really want to. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think money is in short supply. That's a good question. If Roger Goodell killed someone and chopped him up, would you still watch the NFL?
Yeah. I think probably. I mean, look.
The difference is
I love the NFL.
Yeah. The difference is I don't think Roger Goodell would be in charge of the NFL if he did murder someone and then chop them up with a bone saw. Seems a bit extreme.
Hey.
If Adam Schefter goes missing and then we find out there's video of Adam Schefter going into the NFL offices and then we find out that Adam Schefter is now in 17 pieces, something tells me that Roger Goodell is going to be in some trouble. Whereas the Saudis, dude, that got caught on film and the Saudis collectively went,
Yeah.
Don't say bad things about us.
Hey, murderers have the right to make money too.
Yes, they do. COJ. By the way, I looked up that draft for David Kahn. And yes, he did draft 3 point guards in the first round.
And not Steph Curry.
And not Steph Curry. So that he had the fifth and sixth overall picks.
Flynn.
He went Ricky Rubio, 5.
Yeah.
Johnny Flynn, 6. Steph Curry, by the way, went 7. DeMar DeRozan went 9.
Wow.
Jrue Holiday went 17. And then he drafted at 18, he drafted point guard Ty Lawson.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
3 point guards in one draft. In one round.
Has he ever explained that? They ever asked him about that?
I don't know.
Like, what do you
I think there's a reason.
Our team is great, but we don't have a point guard. Let's take all of them and see if we get one of them.
I think there's a reason why he's now over in France. Although, it could be worse. All you could be Memphis and draft Hasheem Thabeet. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Whoops.
Former Blazer.
Former Blazer. At one point, we had Thabeet and Johnny Flynn.
On the same
squad.
But it's really next level to know that you're going to take multiple point guards.
Mm-hmm.
And you had two, right before Steph Curry is drafted, and you didn't want him. I mean, even the second one, you could be, it's like, I'll take Curry. He's a flyer.
Yeah,
No. Johnny Flynn. Unbelievable.
Well, hey, Johnny Flynn was great.
At Syracuse.
Yes.
The best part is you took
Curry was great at Davidson.
Not only did you take 3 point guards, you didn't take a point guard over 6'2". Rubio is 6'1.5", 6'2", and Flynn and Ty Lawson are both 5'11", 6'. So not one, not two, three undersized point guards.
I mean,
hey, Neil O'Shea somewhere is like, awesome. Let's do this.
The more I think about this, the more I think this has got to be one of, if not the biggest draft gaffes in the history of sport.
It's pretty bad.
It's got to be.
It's pretty bad.
Homie.
Hey, you wanted an undersized point guard. There is one out there. Steph Curry. Arguably the second or third best point guard of all time.
Wow.
I wonder if this is true, by the way. This is just back to the Saudi conversation. This text came in.
Oh.
I'm on the inside a bit. The grandstand contractor turned them down because of pressure from the PGA. Ooh. So the prince just bought the company.
The
grandstand company.
Dude, that's look, I'm not saying anything.
You
good
just
about,
caught yourself.
I'm gonna.
You said that's awesome.
That's all. Oh.
Look, I don't want to praise the Saudis. That's a baller move. That is a baller move.
That's like, how they operate.
I mean, that's like going to a restaurant. Like, what's a real hot restaurant in Portland right now? Right?
I don't know.
Like whatever.
Pig in a blanket.
Yeah.
Pigs and pancake. What is that? What it's called?
Pig in the pancake.
Yeah. Real right? Hot.
Like you roll over there to the pig
all
in
over
the,
Portland.
The pig in the pancake, and you're like, I'd like a table for four, and they're like, no, sorry, sir, we're booked out for a month. And then, like, an hour later, you come back, and you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'd like a table for four. Sir, we can't help. Yeah, I own the place now, so this is...
You're fired.
That is a baller-ass move. Now, that's done by some murderous bastards, but you got to admit, power flex of all power flexes.
You know what, Suk? I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you.
Yeah, I disagree wholeheartedly as well.
You don't think that that's a baller move.
No, I do not. I think that's awful.
I think it's a terrible thing that person lost their business.
That's right.
They didn't lose their business.
You know he how got much, paid handsomely.
You know how much money they got? Right? I'm sure that vendor was
well,
like,
he didn't have to sell it to him.
Well, exactly.
So obviously they paid him well.
This is my point. The vendor's like, he comes to him and is like, I would like to believe that this is how it went. I'd like to buy your company. And the vendor says, well, it's not for sale. And let's say the evaluation was like $3 million. And he says, sorry, it's not for sale. And the Saudi guy goes, $15 million. Done. No negotiation, no nothing. just an absurd amount of money. And the vendor's like, well, it's touche, sir.
Now, if you're the vendor, do you feel slimy at all?
Well, I'm sure you do.
Of course. But because you just made $15 million. Or
the first time you said, no, I will not. And then you're like, well, here's more money.
Yeah. Well, you're slimy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now yeah, I will. Yeah.
You feel slimy.
Did I say no? I meant yes.
I mean,
but you feel slimy so much on your new boat, like in the Caribbean. Again, it'd be like someone pointed this out. Like when Trump got banned from Twitter, the most power thing he could do was then do the Elon Musk and just buy Twitter. Like, what did you ban me? I got this. Now he doesn't have the $44 billion. Some people don't think he has any billions. But either way, when someone denies you and then you just buy it, sorry. It's a baller flex.
Fantastic. All right. Coming up next is in the news. Oh, we're running behind. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
We have a text here from someone who says, I worked for a mine. And one day the owner of the company went to a Mercedes dealer and asked the salesman what the price was on one of the cars. Seeing him covered in dirt from the mine, the salesman replied, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. My company's owner proceeded to buy the whole dealership and fire that salesman. and from then on, he would show up to the mine in the car he had been asking about. Dude.
Boss.
Let's go.
Boss.
I wonder if that, I was just thinking about this now too, and we got to move on here, but this whole Pumpkin Ridge Saudi Golf League, it just fascinates me. I wonder if that's why Pumpkin Ridge, you know, like I just wonder how those negotiations went, you know, because I know they pissed off a lot of their membership by having the event.
Yep.
But you wonder if the money just, they just keep upping the money until you're like, okay, well, fine, we'll host your event.
They just choke you with money.
Right.
Someone said, I just want them to go and throw a bunch of gold bars on a table that are like done. Everyone's like, all right.
And this guy's right. Not the people I want to make enemies with. I sell my company with zero regret. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that too. You don't want to piss in their pot.
No. By the way, at some point, I don't have time to do it now. That Minnesota draft that we were talking about, and then they traded Ty Lawson.
It gets, the more you dig into it, the worse it is.
It gets worse and worse. And by the way, it involves the Blazers.
What do you mean?
Well, it right after that, it directly involves the Portland Trail Blazers.
Right after what?
So they dealt Ty Lawson, right? And then that next is for a future first round pick in cash. I'm going to get into it. And I know we got a break in the news, and trust me, it directly involves Portland on multiple occasions. And that trade, it seems like a bad one. That whole draft, it gets worse than what you even realize.
Okay, well, we'll revisit it.
Yeah.
We have stumbled upon the David Kahn draft from hell in Minnesota.
Yes.
All right, right now, May 12th, 2022, it is time for In the News. Today is International Nurses Day.
Go nurses.
Yep, I'm pro nurse,
especially
you know.
The hot ones.
We have four nurses in our family. Four. I married a nurse. Our son is in nursing school. My brother is a nurse, and his wife is a nurse.
A lot of nurses.
It is also,
my mom is a nurse as well.
Yes, that's right. Maxine.
Like, yes.
And I would like to say for
She's
the record.
She's a school nurse now, though. So. Oh. Same thing, but not for schools.
Checking for lice and whatnot. I find nurses to be one of the professions where you get bumped up like 2-3 points just for being a nurse.
In the hot category?
In the hot category. There's something about nurses that I dig. I don't know, something about the scrubs. I'm like, what's happening here?
That profession has a lot of whack jobs too.
Well, it's because people that, you know, they care for others and put their needs ahead of them. And
well,
crazy hot matrix.
That? National Odometer Day as well. So right. Shout out to all you odometers out there that are listening right now.
Go odometer.
It's not a mandate, but Multnomah County is urging citizens to wear masks indoors amid a little COVID wave here.
Yeah, we're back to this.
We are.
All right. My kids still wear them. They rock them.
We are back up to 1,300 cases for the 7-day rolling average. Low point was 224 back in March.
Oh, all right. Well, what did we have to dip below in order to get everything removed?
1,000, I think.
Is it 1,000? So
wasn't it?
No one cares anymore. They're like, whatever.
Do you know who Oregon's poet laureate is?
Yes, I do. We had this. We talked about this while you were gone.
Really?
You know this?
Yes.
Was I here?
Did you know Oregon has a poet laureate?
Yes.
Was I listening?
You were
probably
bitching
not.
Because of the poetry hotline.
Oh, you guys have already talked about this.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mike was all bent out of shape over trying to get a little culture into his swine life.
Wait.
Why am I a swine now?
That was
I
weird.
I thought I was a country mouse.
You're uncultured swine.
Wait, so why did you talk about this?
Because it had just happened, and so we recorded the very first one.
What had just happened?
They announced the hotline.
The poetry hotline.
The poetry hotline.
Okay. Well, I didn't know we had a poet laureate.
I didn't either until I saw that story.
But apparently most states do.
Yeah.
And I saw on OPB.org today that our poet laureate is back. And does he look like a poet.
100%. I always thought that the country just had a poet laureate. I did not.
Yeah.
I thought there was one.
Well, I thought you could be I knew you could be a poet laureate, but I just thought it was like, I didn't know it was a state, position.
I knew nothing about poet laureates.
You know I'm a poet laureate, right?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I think it's just like kind of like a, it's just like a prod, you know, like, hey, you're pretty good at poetry. Here you go.
All right, it says right here. Laureate. It's just a poet appointed to or regarded, because it's not an official thing, regarded unofficially as holding an honorary representation. God bless America.
Represented?
Doing great.
Position in a particular country, region, or group.
Would you like to go ahead and try that word again, sir?
No, I'm good.
Okay,
I don't even know what the word was. Was it representative?
Yes.
His name was Anis Mohani. He is Oregon's poet laureate.
Hello?
For a second term.
We're all doing great.
He originally started serving in the coveted position, it says here, in May of 2020. He will now continue through 2024. Where did he go? I applaud Anise for this creative effort to connect with Oregonians during the pandy, said Governor Kate Shutdown Brown. He now has the opportunity to travel and make the personal connections that can be so powerful. Extending his term allows him to fulfill his vision as poet laureate.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is so confusing.
Well, I don't think it's running anymore because I think it was only for 1 month. But there was a moment there, and I think it was last month, where they set up a hotline where this dude would read you a poem every day.
Yeah, I was reading about that in here.
And let me tell you, when I called
the telepoem hotline.
It was.
Did you call it?
I did.
Get some poetry?
It wasn't.
Good. Was it his poetry?
It was his original poems. And
well, how do you know? I'm not judging your.
I think Mike still has it. We can probably pull it. It's like 4 minutes long. And let me tell you, we got through about 30 seconds of it. And we're like, look, we got it.
Well, maybe we're just not into poetry.
It's possible. More of a naughty limerick guy. By the way, if you're the National Poet Laureate, you get $35,000 a year plus $5,000 in travel expenditures.
Do we have? So who is our National Poet Laureate? Laureate.
That I'd have to look up. But apparently whoever gets it, it's a sweet paying job.
Well,
35 grand. Joy.
Oh, Suk, by the way.
Yeah.
I was not on that show with you.
Oh, you weren't?
No, I found the clips.
Oh.
And it's not they're not saved in how I save clips in.
Oh.
So it was not me.
Oh. It might have been when you were out too. Joy. Harjo.
Yes, we have poetry beginning and poetry ending as two clips. Would you like to hear them?
No.
They're not.
I don't want them.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, Joy is our poet.
Who's the uncultured swine now?
Both of you.
I refuse poetry on this broadcast.
I'm the only one that's listened to this poem. Let me tell you, I'm worse off for it.
Well, now I will take your word for it. All right, so I guess he went away because of the pandy. That's what it was. He used to perform poetry. He would recite poems from the window of his art studio. Mm-hmm. That's what he did during COVID to keep everyone safe, you know.
Sure.
But then he started attracting large audiences. And that's when I think the hotline came about, which maybe was his idea. I don't know. I don't know where he went. This story is very confusing. But I was just fascinated that we have a poet laureate.
Yeah.
And we don't know where he went, but now he's back.
Now he's back.
So shout out to poetry. Is poetry more popular than we might think, or is it not that popular?
I don't think it's
What
popular.
Do you think?
It's not popular. It's.
I think it's more popular than you might think.
I think so too. I tend to agree with Mike.
Those open mic nights can get pretty busy.
Yes, I think poetry is more popular than you might think. And how we could quantify that, I don't know.
Yeah, and something tells me it's about the same audience that showed up to watch Mike play video game baseball.
Hey, 83
about
people.
83 people.
Well, you thought that was a lot. Now you don't think it is.
Yeah, you said six.
Which is it, fella?
You jerk.
God, you're a piece of crap.
Try saying that word again, Stuke.
Don't worry about what I'm doing over here.
All right. In the news continues next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, we're out of time, okay? So, you're just going to have to deal with it.
Sorry.
We got sidetracked by the Saudis.
Well, and then there was poet laureates and, you know.
Yeah. A lot going on today.
Representative of a bigger problem, like me not being able to say representative.
Hey, you just said it.
I know, I said it twice.
Congrats.
Golf. Golf. Don't ask me to say that.
What other type of laureates are there?
Can you say scoff?
Oh, I'll scoff at that.
Wait, what? You'll scoff?
We have a drop of that already, yeah.
Yeah. I think there are some people that are going to look at this and scoff. But...
Can I be a Nobel laureate?
I don't even know.
What does that mean?
I don't even know what a laureate is.
Didn't we just?
Well, we talked about a poet laureate, but... I don't know. Is there other laureates?
Well, like I said, I think there's something called a Nobel laureate. I've heard of that.
I heard of that
I may
once.
Have one of those. I don't know. It's probably in the garage somewhere.
Yeah. A laureate is a person who is honored with an award for outstanding creative or intellectual achievement. So.
Yeah, definitely me.
Clearly you. It is honorary, so why not?
Right. It's honorary, like, just means like, well, that's, it's like, vague. It's like, it's not really much of anything. It's well, just, hey, it's you're like, pretty smart. So,
well, it's not even that. Like, Bill Cosby's Dr. Cosby because he went and gave a commencement address before we figured out that he was raping everybody and they made him an honorary doctor. And there are people that lean into that, S man. I know someone that has one of those honorary degrees and he will call himself doctor. And you're like, whoa, 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 dude.
Really?
You're a doctor of jackass. Like, you wrote a check and a university, and it's not even a good university either. It's a small little university, and he has an honorary doctorate, and he calls himself doctor. It's one of the douchiest things I've ever seen in my life.
Hmm.
Just for the record, if someone gives you an honorary degree, you didn't do anything. You did not earn that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking here. Yeah. I'm going to do some more digging on laureates.
Figure out how many.
See how many I have. Yeah.
There is a Nobel.
Yeah, but what does that mean? That's just for, what is that specifically for, though?
I don't know.
It's not poetry.
No, it is not.
Is this in a similar vein to, like, Professor Emeritus or something emeritus?
Boy,
Yeah.
I've always been kind of confused by what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, The Nobel laureate is just someone that wins the Nobel Prize.
Oh.
So
I have one of those too.
Yeah. If you win the Nobel Prize, you are a Nobel laureate.
So far on my Google regarding emeritus, I have stumbled upon emeritus insurance. So I'll be on that site. Financial
emeritus
strategies.
Family insurance.
God. The Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.